Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The object of today's songs and message is Jesus. May I remind you that Resurrection Sunday, what the world may call Easter, is not about chocolate bunnies or even new dresses and bonnets, but it's about Jesus. And shall we stand together as we read from the book of Luke chapter 24? If you didn't bring a Bible, there are Bibles available in the pews for your use. Or you can look on with somebody nearby. Book of Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and what it means to the Christian faith. And Lord, we thank you so much that you were willing to be our Passover lamb, that you were willing to be sacrificed on our behalf, that you were willing to be our vicarious sacrifice. Lord, please be with each and every one that is here today. May they, during this next few minutes, give full attention. We pray, Lord, that souls could be touched, that hearts could be made right. And if there are those with us today that have never accepted thee as Savior, Lord, may this be the day that they do so and bring joy to heaven with a sinner coming home. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Some people may think I'm strange. Thank you for no amens on that. My wife gave me this suit at Christmas. Yes, I am strange. I didn't even try it on until this week. But when it comes to Christ, I don't believe that I'm strange, because I believe what the Word of God has to say. I believe that it was given to us to encourage us, to direct us, and to provide a way of salvation. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Why? So that we could see that the tomb is empty. For we, as we have said, serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We know that he is living, whatever man may say. We see his hand of mercy, we hear his voice of cheer, and just the time we need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with us and he talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how we know he lives. He lives within our heart. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not asking you, do you have religion? Boy, the world is full of religion. But do you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem us, to purchase our salvation. I have a 100-point message this morning. Don't fear, it's not for you, it's for me. Jesus, God the Son, before the foundation of the earth, knew of his pending death on the cross. The Bible tells us in a number of places that before the foundation of the world, he knew what was going to happen. He was conceived in the Virgin Mary when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. He was born, and we, of course, celebrate his birth in December, but Jesus lived a sinless life. His earthly ministry, which began at about the age of 30, was to seek and to save that which was lost. May I say this quickly? You are not saved and on your way to heaven because your mother was, or because your grandmother was, or even because you may have your membership at the Covenant Baptist Church. You are saved when you accept the Lord as your Savior. Matthew 20, 28 says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. His desire is to save souls. During that ministry in which he preached repentance, he performed hundreds, yea, thousands of miracles. John wrote, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. He healed the lame and caused the blind to see. He freed the demon-possessed and cured those with leprosy. He fed the hungry and calmed the sea. He told the fishermen where to fish and Peter where to find the coin for the temple tax. He wept over Jerusalem and drove the money changers from the temple. He raised the dead and told the Pharisees that they were as whited sepulchers. Then at the appointed time, he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem upon a borrowed donkey, knowing that shortly he would be buried in a borrowed tomb, following the Passover meal in yet a borrowed room. Jesus and his disciples left to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, singing a song, probably the 118th Psalm. Now one may ask, why go to the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, it was a place that he often went, but because Judas was going there with a host of men to arrest him. Remember that his death on the cross was not plan B. It was plan A right from the very beginning. And while he waited for Judas's arrival, Jesus prayed. Three times he went to the Heavenly Father in prayer, asking him to take this cup from me, if there was another way of redemption for fallen man. There is only one way into heaven. It's through Christ. It's not through religion, it's through Christ. He is the only way. But the answer to each prayer must have been no. For Jesus, each time, concluded his prayer with, not my will, but thine be done. Folks, we serve a loving God, but don't ever forget the fact that we serve a righteous God, a God that hates sin, a God that cannot tolerate sin. And thus, your sin and my sin had to be wiped away, but by no cleaner made on earth, only through the shed blood of Christ. We have all seen pictures portraying Christ praying there in the garden, kneeling in the moonlight before a large stone. But the Bible indicates that he was on his face, sweating great drops of blood, because he prayed under the agony of our sin. He prayed being mocked and tempted by the demons and the devil himself. The very angels that he had created, a third of them, following Lucifer, left heaven. And those demons today plague us. May I say this, he prayed knowing the cross was just moments away. Even as the shadow of the cross drew near, he readied himself for its shame and reproach, its curse. For the Bible tells us, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In the Garden of Eden, following the fall of man, and yes, I do believe that God created the universe and the animals and man and woman in six literal days, that it did not take millions of years, but in 6 days. And because of the sin of Adam, we have sin in the world. That's why we have death in the world. And that's why we have sickness in the world. But following the fall of man, the Lord God brought a curse. He brought a curse upon the woman. In pain, there would be pain, in pain there would be childbearing. No, I guess you'd say pain in childbearing in the delivery. And I don't believe this, that if men had children, there'd only be one per family. But also the woman was cursed in that she would be submissive to her husband. The man, he was cursed that he should eat by the sweat of his brow. The earth was cursed in that it would bring forth thorns and thistles. Folks, the dandelions are coming. On the serpent, it would crawl on its belly, eating the dust. He cursed the devil. Christ would bruise his head. That is still future. But there was a curse on Christ because his heel would be bruised. He would have to die. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ died for the sins of those who would believe. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your sins have been wiped away. The gift is eternal life with him. That where there is light. May I say this, in hell and in hell's fire, it will be dark. It'll be a place of separation. It'll be a place away from God for all eternity. But you must make the choice, heaven or hell. Christ knew as he anticipated Judas and the band of men that were coming for him that a trip to Golgotha was waiting. Listen. Can you hear them coming? See them. They're coming across the Brook Kidron. They come with lanterns and torches and swords and staves. Some would say, Jesus, run. They're coming after you. But no, Jesus steps forward and asks them, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth is their reply. Jesus quickly declares himself as the one that they seek. And when they heard this, the Bible tells us they stepped back and fell to the ground. Judas steps forth and kisses him, probably thinking of the 30 pieces of silver that were in his pocket. And Jesus said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Some say that those that came to arrest Jesus brought the lanterns and torches and swords and staves because they thought that Jesus might run for his life and that they would have to chase him and hunt him down as a common criminal. But a second time, Jesus would ask them, whom seek ye? Peter is standing there. Do you see him? He's not willing to see his friend, his guide, his mentor, his Lord thus treated. And he pulls a sword out from underneath his robe and swings it like a fisherman and not like a soldier. And he cuts off the ear of Malchus, servant of the high priest. Jesus, ever being Jesus, reaches down and takes the ear and puts it back on Malchus. And I think he heard better out of that ear than he'd ever heard in his life. They arrested Jesus. He went peaceably, not trying to defend himself with sword or with word of mouth. Jesus would go through unfair and awful, lawful, unlawful trial after unfair and unlawful trial. To Caiaphas, to Annas, to Pilate, to Herod, and back to Pilate. Pilate tries to make himself look faithful to the Roman government and make himself in good standings with the Jewish leaders. And he declares, I found no fault with this man, and will release either Barabbas, a known criminal and rabble-rouser, or Jesus, the king of the Jews. He's trying to find a way to get Jesus away from him and out of his hair. But within the crowd of onlookers are the chief priests and their men who cry for the release of Barabbas, calling for the crucifixion of Christ. Pilate thought on yet another plan to release Jesus, scourge him. For lack of time and to save our appetites, we will not give you in detail what a scourging did to a prisoner. But when the soldier who manned the whip was done inflicting the punishment upon the prisoner, the prisoner's mother would not even have recognized him. We read Pilate's final plea. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. I don't know if he was trying to tell them, yes, this bloody mess is a man. Look at him, have compassion on him. This is enough. But it didn't work. Blinded by hate and the lust for power, the chief priests and officers cried out, Crucify him. Crucify him. Your sins were crying out, Crucify him. Following one last conversation with Jesus, Pilate, finally afraid for his position, gives in to the mob, and according to John 19:16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 says, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He did not try to defend himself. He knew there was something that had to be done. And Jesus, bearing his cross, is led to the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. He was crucified with two other men. You know the story. Jesus is in the midst. An inscription is placed above Jesus with his crime, which says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Let us in our mind's eye see the scene. Disinterested soldiers just simply doing their job. Angry priests and religious leaders taunting and mocking Jesus with words, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Being on a main road, they passed by and they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Hear the curses of the two thieves yelling and screaming at all who would listen. See Mary, his mother. See the other women, his followers. See John, the beloved apostle. See the flies as they flock to the bodies on the cross. See the sun hide from 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon. Hear the words of Jesus from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the thief, he said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. One of the thieves realized finally who Jesus was, and he put his faith and trust in Christ. There was no time for good works. There was no baptism. He simply had a faith in Jesus Christ. And he would go to be in paradise that day. To Mary, his mother, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." To John, "Behold thy mother." And from that day on, John took care of the mother of Jesus. Jesus would cry out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Later he would say, "I thirst." You can only imagine how long it had been since Jesus had anything to eat, probably there at the institution of the Lord's Supper. Then there's the victor's cry. It is finished. Victory. The job is complete. Glory. May I say this, you should be glad in the finished work of Christ. It's due to his willingness to die on Calvary's cross that we can have salvation and that we can have eternal life. And his last statement on the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Here the centurion, watching all this and seeing the darkness and hearing all that's gone on, said, "Certainly this was a righteous man. The veil of the temple is rent in twain. The night is quickly coming. They must prepare for the Passover. The legs of the prisoners must be broken to bring about a quicker death. But when they come to Jesus, he is already dead." May I say this, he did not swoon. The Roman soldiers knew how to kill a man. They didn't leave it to chance or that maybe he was dead. Jesus was dead. And as a proof, they took a spear and thrust it into Christ's side, and blood and water mingling flowed out. Joseph of Arimathea asks for and receives permission to take the body of Jesus down from the cross and to bury him. See, as they take Jesus to a newly dug grave, a stone is rolled in front of the opening. Guards are posted to keep the disciples from stealing the body of Christ. The devil plays. The demons rejoice. The earth receives its creator's body. And time passes. One day. 2 days. The nights have come. The morning of the third day, the disciples are weeping and hiding in secret. And then the news comes. The ladies went to the tomb to anoint his body. They found that the stone had been rolled away. The tomb is empty. There are angels with a question and a message. "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Peter and John run to the temple, the tomb, upon hearing the news, as we read this morning. John, being most likely younger, ran faster and got there, and he stopped there at the tomb's mouth. Peter ran right on in. And what did he find? The clothes were all that were left. Strange things begin to happen. Eyewitness reports that Christ has been seen by Mary Magdalene and two on the road to Emmaus. It's now Sunday night. The disciples are hiding behind closed doors and wondering what they should do. When suddenly, they have a visitor. A divine visitor. It's Jesus. He shows them his hands and side. He is alive. I hope you serve a risen Savior today. I hope you have a desire to serve him all the days of your life. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. 0.100. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Physically, we are going to die. But spiritually, we live on in one of two places, heaven or hell. Heaven with Christ and the redeemed, hell with Satan and the fallen angels. The Bible tells us that there are more heading towards destruction than there are heading for life. Because man is always seeking another way into heaven than through Jesus Christ. As we stand together this morning for a time of invitation, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Are you on the right road? We're going to be singing number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. The Lord's will is that you come to know him as Savior. I do not know your spiritual condition today, but there is one that does know, and that is the Lord. The Holy Spirit moving, touching hearts. Do you know Christ? Are you prepared to meet the Creator of the universe? Are you prepared to meet the one who was willing to die for you? Or have you rejected him? And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. The choice is yours. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and what it means. Thank you, Lord, for what you endured on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for your love. We ask at this invitation time, Lord, if there is one here that has never accepted thee as Savior, that this would be that day, that they would be prepared to yield themselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.